And let us pray. O God of promise, your word made flesh in Jesus Christ is trustworthy and true. By the power of your Spirit, may it rise up in us this day like a gift from the river of the water of life, refreshing our thirsty souls. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In what is sort of a first shall be last shall be first sort of twist on lectionary passages, our first reading today is from Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible. And I'll be reading from chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. So hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Then I saw a new heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." And also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Right.
Our second reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. Hear again what the Spirit is saying to the church. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am only with you a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Final reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. Hear again what the Spirit is saying to you, the church. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step. saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, Get up, Peter, kill and eat. But I replied, By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But a second time, the voice answered from heaven, What God has made clean, you must not call profane. This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. The six brothers, or friends, also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. This man is Cornelius. And Cornelius told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house, saying to him, Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave them the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? When they heard this, they were silenced. And they praised God, saying, Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you ever been stuck in a meeting that somehow turned into a showdown? Maybe it didn't start out that way, but at some point someone said something, sometimes intentionally, sometimes not, and someone else took offense at that comment and made an objection to it. And then it turned into the kind of meeting where the tension is so thick you could cut it with a knife, even though having a weapon at those kinds of meetings is a very bad idea. So the result of that is that a group that had initially gathered together is now divided in two, often with the two sides pitted against each other. Have you been there? I'm not the only one, right? Okay, so remember what that feels like, because that is exactly the uncomfortable and awkward space Peter is in this story from the book of Acts. Essentially, he's being called on the carpet in the middle of this meeting by those who are inside the religious establishment for the time that he's been spending with people outside the establishment. In their eyes, he's been out breaking the rules with his behavior, visiting with outsiders and eating food considered to be unkosher. Now, it should be noted that Jesus is often accused of this same crime, eating with sinners. So Peter's in pretty good company, but that doesn't make this meeting with the religious leaders in Jerusalem any easier. So we've got this meeting of people who have gathered together who now have kind of divided themselves into two groups. And the one group of this showdown includes those who want to draw a very narrow circle around the gospel. It's kind of the establishment. And really what they're trying to do is preserve the hallmark of unity, of one heart and one faith and one way of believing within the church. So you have those folks over here. And then you have this other group. And they were busy trying to expand the circle of the gospel until all of God's children had a place at the table. So it's kind of like everybody's over here, and poor little Peter is over here all by himself. So the question of the day, the question on the floor is, would the Gentiles, the outsiders, be allowed by the people on the inside to have a place at the table or not? No issue was more hotly debated in the early church than this exact issue. Whether this newfound faith in Christ was intended only for the Jews, or whether it was to include others, like the Gentiles. And could they still be Gentiles and believers without conforming to the marks of Judaism, particularly circumcision and following the dietary restrictions? So to this question of will Gentiles have a place at the table, the establishment says no. Peter says yes. So it's this very interesting sort of David and Goliath situation. Now, let's not pretend that meetings like this, meetings that end up turning into showdowns, don't still happen today. And don't still happen in churches today, because we all know they do. In my previous church, a particular session meeting turned into a showdown between the pastor and one elder. Now, I was not the pastor, I'm glad to say, but this is a story that lived on in infamy in the church. And that night, angry words, accusations, and profanities began to fly across the table, both from the elder and from the pastor. And finally, the clerk of session, who it sounds like was the sole voice of reason that night, picked up the papers on which he had been writing the minutes of that meeting, and he tore them up, declaring that since there were no minutes of this meeting, it never happened. And he sent everyone home to calm down. It would have been so easy for this meeting between Peter and the religious leaders, the apostles and the believers. It would have been so easy for that meeting to turn into this kind of disaster. But miraculously, it doesn't. When Peter is confronted by the apostles and believers for his interactions with these Gentile outsiders, he could have come back at them with something as argumentative as he could think of. He could have got up in their faces and said, "Is it fair that we keep the gospel for ourselves? Doesn't God also love the Gentiles? Can't Gentiles approach God without first becoming like us?" But that probably would have just led to an argument had he responded in that way. What he says is not argumentative, it's not full of tightly reasoned theological doctrines. He's not going to go toe-to-toe and try to take them down. He's not there to argue or debate, because arguments and debates tend to keep two sides apart. And you have winners and you have losers. Instead, Peter tells a story. Because stories, not arguments, can change lives. Now, the establishment knows the story of what Peter had done. That's how he's ended up being called out on the carpet, because through the grapevine, they have heard what he has been doing and with whom he has been doing it with. They know whose house he went into, and they know what food he ate while he was there. But what they don't know is the why. And it's time for Peter to tell them his story and to explain why he did what he did. So here we have Peter boldly testifying in front of his friends, his peers, the apostles, and the other believers. And remember, this is Peter, the unschooled fisherman who had kind of been plucked out of obscurity by Jesus. Peter, who often speaks before he thinks, and Peter, who is empowered by God just to tell the story of what he has seen. And his story is simple. He receives a vision from the Lord while praying, seeing this sheet lowered from heaven and full of what were considered to be unclean animals. And that voice from heaven tells him to take and eat and kill, essentially telling him it's okay to do this thing he had always thought was wrong. Now he refuses, and he hears the voice declare, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happens not just once, not just twice, but three times. And then the sheet is taken back up to heaven. He is then prompted by the Spirit to go to Caesarea, to the house of Cornelius, and he's told not to distinguish between himself, an insider, and the people of that house, outsiders. While he's at that house, the Spirit leads him to begin to preach the good news, and as he speaks, he sees the Holy Spirit of God fall upon the Gentile outsider, just as it had on the Jewish insiders. So he tells this whole story to his friends, the apostles and the other believers, and then he says to them, if God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? Now I think the best part about Peter telling his story is that he tells it in such a way that it's really not about him. It could have happened to any of the disciples, any of the apostles that he's talking to. It's not a story about Peter and how great he is. He wasn't trying to break the rules or go outside of the accepted norms. He wasn't trying to cause a ruckus. He was just doing what God asked him to do. Peter could truthfully say he didn't initiate any of this. The vision came to him from God. The messenger from Caesarea asked him to come and to preach. This was all God's doing. It had God's fingerprints all over it. In this moment, God is doing a new thing and making all things new. And who was Peter to stand in the way of what God was doing? He tells them God intervened in his life, speaking to him in this voice and this vision, and really asking him to let go of the stereotypes or distinctions that he used to hold on to. It's his story, but it's a story that could have happened to any of the people he was talking to. Anybody in the establishment who wanted to keep the circle of the gospel very small. I wonder what somebody else would have done had they been in Peter's shoes. What would somebody else have done if God had appeared and spoken to them in this way? I wonder if they would have tried to stand in God's way. I'm guessing not. I'm so glad Peter tells his story rather than starting an argument. A story has the power to change hearts and lives, and in this case, it changes an entire menu of a faith community. Unlike debates or arguments, stories tend to invite people across the chasm that separates them, bringing people together instead of driving them apart. So to that end, as Peter finishes telling his story, verse 18 says, they, meaning those in the establishment who had called Peter out on the carpet, they were silenced. But really, it was only their criticisms that were silenced. For in the very next sentence, it says, "And they praised God as they recognized the authenticity of the repentance and faith of those Gentile outsiders." So for Peter, and I think for those of us who are listening to this story today, it all comes down to this question, which I read in the writings of one of the biblical scholars that I was looking at this week. And the question is this: if God so loved the world that Jesus came not to condemn the whole world, but to save it, who were they? And who are we to try to limit the mission of God? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.